Good morning. We are extremely pleased that you are here. It is good to come together for the purpose of co-creating. Do you agree?
Yes.
It is really co-creating at its best, yes?
Yes.
And your understanding that you, standing here on the leading edge, are responsible for the summoning forth of the expansion of the universe. Do you get that?
Yes.
We can see how you would be delighted to talk with the likes of us. Because we are non-physical energy and we have broad view. And we know who you are. We know who you are even before you come into these bodies. And we know who you are as you are in these bodies. But the thing that we don't think that you know that we know that we know is that we understand who you have really become now that you are in these bodies. In other words, you live in this time-space reality that is providing contrast for you. And the contrast is causing an expansion of your desires. And the expansion of those desires is causing an expansion of the universe. So, something that we want to call your attention to is that as you are living your life experience, and something is happening which is helping you to identify or to sharpen a desire, that desire is a vibrational reality that becomes in the moment of the contrasting experience which gives birth to it. And so the thing we know that we don't think you know that we want you to know is that in that moment of contrast, the expansion actually occurs. And the part of you that is non-physical, the part of you that is vibrationally like that which is us, goes with that new desire and literally, vibrationally becomes it. In other words, you have expanded in the moment of your knowing what you don't want, because you cannot know what you don't want without the explosion of what you do want happening in the universe. So what we're saying to you is, we become one with that expansion. The non-physical part of you, which is the larger part of you, far and away the larger part of you, the eternal part of you, the non-physical eternal part of you becomes one immediately with every desire in the moment that your contrast gives birth to it. What this workshop is about is the question that so many of you have, and the question that is really a worthy question. Why is it that I, we're speaking for you, standing in my physical body, don't feel so good? Why is it that there are desires that I know that I hold that are not coming to physical fruition? And we say, it's because those desires have been born and Source has become one with them, and it is truly the vibrational essence of who you now are, but you may very likely still be beating the drum that you were beating that caused you to give birth to the desire to begin with. For example, you don't have enough money, something happens which exaggerates your feeling of not having enough money. You want more money, you've done that like about a million times. If you had any idea the resources that have been amassed for you in vibrational escrow, you would feel prosperous. You are multi-millionaires, billionaires in some cases. You have been living and asking, and Source has been yesing, and your vibrational escrow and that which you really are vibrationally is powerfully prosperous. But if you are beating the drum of, I don't have enough money, or what am I going to do, or what am I doing wrong, or why isn't it working for me, or why does it work for that person and it doesn't work for me, or mostly, what am I doing wrong, 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 what am I doing wrong? Well, that's what you're doing wrong. You're holding yourself vibrationally apart from that which you have become. But the good news is, and it is such good news, you have emotional guidance that is letting you know that you are not vibrationally up to speed with that which you have become. Your guidance system, which is based on your emotions, which is felt to you or indicated to you by your emotions has only the function of helping you to know what your vibrational mix is. And for you beautiful flesh, blood, and bone beings, we can see how sometimes you might not be that interested in what your vibrational mix is. But if we were standing in your physical shoes, we would be infinitely interested in what our vibrational mix is, because everything that is happening in your life experience is coming in response to your vibrational mix. You are vibrational beings, period. Oh, there's that bony, bloody, fleshy stuff. We acknowledge you are beautiful in your manifestation, but you are energy, and you are transmitters of energy, and you are thinking yourself into your creations. And what you think matters, not just what you're thinking about one thing, but what you think about everything, because what you think adds up to your vibrational mix. So, if your life has caused you to launch a rocket of desire where you want something beyond what you are living, more money, an improved bodily condition, an improved relationship, anything, as your life has caused you to want that, you're getting vibrational, emotional feedback on what your vibrational mix is about that subject. Many of you have navigational systems in your vehicles these days. Jerry and Esther have several different kinds now in several different vehicles. But they all operate on the same premise, which is the system, because of the satellites in the sky and the dishes on the roof and the computers in the vehicles, the system knows where they are right now. So they program in their desired destination, and then the system calculates the route between where they are and where they want to be, period. That is the purpose of a navigational system. And your emotional navigational system is exactly the same thing. It is devised to help you to get from where you are to where you want to be by giving you consistent feedback that is meaningful enough that you can translate it and follow it. Well, this gathering is about teaching you how to translate your navigational system, because your emotions are giving you in the moment accurate feedback, guiding you constantly toward what you are wanting. Magellan says to Jerry and Esther, please proceed to the highlighted route. She gives them visual and verbal description of how to get from where they are to where they want to be. And never, not once, has Magellan ever said to them, sassy broad that she is anyway, it is a woman's voice. Sometimes Jerry says, shut that broad up. She is just sort of insistent about where she thinks they should be going. And when they deviate from the route, Magellan squawks. She said, please proceed to the highlighted route. Please proceed to the highlighted route. But not once has Magellan ever said to them, where were you yesterday? Were you good to your mother when you were little? I'm not going to tell you today because you didn't listen yesterday. And never, you can't get there from here. In other words, Magellan calculates the route, and your emotions do exactly the same thing. Now, Magellan is easy to hear and easy to see. And so you've got to put yourself in a place where you can translate your emotions so that you understand them. So let's say something has happened, and you are in a strong place of strong negative emotion. Let's call it depression, a feeling of powerlessness. On one end of the emotional scale is that feeling of powerlessness. It's a feeling of no freedom. It's the feeling of being out of control. And you describe it as depression, maybe, or fear. They're right there close together. On the other end of the scale is a feeling of empowerment. That's the feeling of freedom. That's where joy and appreciation, that's where that feeling of elation is and passion. We want you to realize that your emotions are about your perception of your freedom. They are really about how in alignment you are with the potential that is really you. And we don't mean potential in the potential sense of the word. We mean potential in the sense that the largest part of you has already become the vibrational essence of whatever your contrast has caused you to want. And your guidance is letting you know where you are in vibrational proximity to what you have become. Do you know all of the days of your life, as you've been banging around with each other, you've been launching rockets. You've been launching incremental rockets that have given source energy a very clear, accurate sense of who you really are. In fact, not just a sense of who you want to become, but an accurate vibrational accounting of who life has caused you to already become. Do you get that? You are already the prosperous being, vibrationally speaking, and all you got to do is adjust your physical vibration to match it, and then it manifests. And rich people have already figured that out. Healthy people have already figured that out. Those people that are thriving in those arenas that you want to thrive in, whether they have done it deliberately or whether they have done it by default, not knowing what they're doing, they just mimicked somebody else that surrounded them that had already figured it out. Every single person who is living the dream that they once dreamed is someone who somehow, some way, figured out how to get vibrationally up to speed with the essence of that which life had caused them to become. So, friends, dear friends, you're not only causing yourself to become this expanded being, you are responsible for our expansion too. You are the reason for the expanded universe. You are out here on the leading edge, living the nitty-gritty of all of this stuff. It's time for you to give up that unworthy stuff you've been packing around for a while and accept yourself as the leading edge genius creators that you are, with a guidance system that is letting you know how to become a manifested version of the expanded being that this life has caused you to become. You heard that, didn't you?
Yes.
That's really good. So, you want to get to know your emotional guidance system, don't you? You want to know what that feedback is, and we want you to understand that since you are an extension of source energy. Sometimes it's hard for you to hear that, but we don't get how you cannot know that. How can you not know that when nothing else could possibly make any sense? How can you not know that you are eternal beings that have come forth from broader non-physical consciousness to experience life deliberately creating on this leading edge? We want so much for you to get that that's who you are. So, that's who you are. Get it? That's who you are. So here you are, source energy, in these physical bodies, and contrast causes you to launch a rocket of desire. And now the name of this game of life is to close that vibrational gap between the contrast that has caused you to want something. You know, whenever you know clearly what you don't want, you know much more clearly what you do want. So you've been launching incrementally from the day that you came forth into this body, even before that, but we're talking about what this life has caused you to want. So this life experience has caused you to launch these rockets of desires, and these rockets of desires have been being accumulated and tended to by source energy in what we lovingly call your vibrational escrow. In other words, it's there for you. It is your vibrational escrow. It is your future life experience. It is who you are as far as we are concerned right now. It's there. It's us. It's us. It's the us part of you. Already there, knowing where you are in relationship to where we are, which is what you have given birth to and what you are wanting to move toward. Did you get all of that? In other words, you launched the rockets and source energy has become the manifestation as far as non-physical is concerned of what you want. And now, because we know so clearly who you are, where you are, what you want, where you are in relationship to what you want, source is now beckoning you toward it, giving you constant encouragement toward it, just like you encourage the little one that you have just seen walking for the first time, and you're saying, come on, come on, come on. It's not so different from that. We know you can do it. We know you deserve it. We know that you have given birth to it. There is no reason for you not to have it. Just point this way and keep on the coming. But what trips you up is that you think that when source energy is calling you, that it should sound like angels and harps. So you don't hear the call sometimes, even though it's always there. This constant, steady call. It's this way, it's this way, it's this way, it's this way. Please proceed to the highlighted route. It's this way, it's this way, it's this way, it's this way, it's this way. And the reason that you sometimes, in fact often, in fact really, really often, do not recognize the call of source energy is because you're over here, bless your hearts, in some sort of negative place, maybe in depression or fear or despair, and the call of source energy, even though it is harp-like from where we are, sounds like rage to you. That was good, wasn't it? Because when you are in a vibration of resistance, you cannot hear the vibration of non-resistance in its pure form, any more than you can set your radio dial on 6:30 a.m. and hear what's being broadcast on 98 FM. The frequencies have to match up. So when you hear the call of anger, oh, you go there. We've watched you. We love it. And then those around you take you to anger management seminars because they don't get that you're moving up the emotional scale. They haven't figured it out that you're closing the vibrational gap between where you are and what you've really become. And you know what? You've got to close that gap in order to feel joy. You cannot live experience which causes an expanded version of you and stay apart from the expanded version and be happy. You must keep up with what life has caused you to become. Your dear friends, they are well-meaning. Most of them, there's just that one that isn't, but most of them are very well-meaning. Your well-meaning friends see you moving into your rage from your depression or into your anger. And they liked you better when you were in depression. And from their point of view, we understand that. You were easier to deal with when you were depressed. You stayed in your room. You didn't bother anybody. But now you're out there flapping in everybody's face. You're harder to deal with. But you feel better, don't you? Admit it. Doesn't anger feel a whole lot better than depression? It does. And the reason it does is, when you think about it, is because in that depression, you were feeling powerless. And in your anger, you took some of your power back. You began projecting what you want somehow mentally, didn't you? When you get into blame, you're sort of rolling. And what we want you to understand is that as you are moving up this emotional scale, you can't get to joy from depression, not all at once. Joseph Campbell gave you the best words ever, when he said, follow your bliss. But sometimes you can't get a whiff of bliss. And so we say, follow your bliss. And on the trail, on the way to the path of bliss, you may very well find rage and revenge and anger. And depression will not be part of your path once you've made it that far. Once you make it from depression all the way into anger, if you've done it deliberately, and if you can personally acknowledge how much better your anger feels than your depression felt, you want to open the window so you can yell at somebody, but you want to open the window. In other words, you feel better when you get mad. So when you go home and you say, well, I went to an enlightened seminar and someone who claims to be non-physical energy said I should just get mad, most people would say you're in the wrong meeting. And we say, if you were feeling frustration and we encouraged you to anger, that would be bad advice, because we would be encouraging you to move back down the emotional scale. But if you are in depression and we encourage you to rage, you're moving in the right direction. As Jerry and Esther are traveling across the desert, they go from Phoenix to San Diego often, so eager to get to San Diego. They love to be in San Diego. And as they're heading out across the desert, they never get halfway out there in the desert around Yuma and then get disoriented because they are so frustrated or upset that they're not yet in San Diego that they lose their way and turn around and go back to Phoenix. Can you imagine what a long journey that would be? Phoenix, Yuma, Phoenix, Yuma, Phoenix, Yuma, Phoenix, Yuma, Phoenix, Yuma, Phoenix, Yuma, Phoenix, Yuma. And in time they would say, San Diego is an impossible dream. It is incurable. And we say, nothing is incurable. Nothing is impossible. You just got to point toward what you want and keep moving in that direction. And of course, it's easy with a situation like being in a car driving across 400 miles across the desert. That's not hard to tell which way is west. And your logic says, keep going and I'll get there. But we see you sometimes in sickness wanting to go to wellness well along your way because you're beginning to feel hopeful. And vibrationally speaking, you're almost up to speed with that which is waiting for you in your vibrational escrow. Do you know that when you got sick, and even before they diagnosed it, all along that path to sickness, you were launching rockets of desires about wellness, and a vitally well person is waiting for you in vibrational escrow? But you've got to be a vibrational match to that. You can't keep beating the drum of what the x-ray says. You can't keep beating the drum of the feedback that you're getting about where you are. Can you imagine Magellan saying to Jerry and Esther, we've taken the test and we are so sorry to tell you that you are in Yuma. We had hoped something so much better for you. We have checked with all of the others who have calculated the route in exactly the same way, and the consensus of all this brilliance is that it is absolute. You are in Yuma. You've got a tumor. It's incurable. You've got cancer. You can't make money. In other words, you've been getting so much feedback from those who are giving you maybe accurate feedback about where you are, but where you are does not mean diddly squat. Where you are is only where you are. Where you're going is what matters, and we want to put it to you in a way that you will really hear it. It's not where you're going, it's where the larger part of you has already gone. In other words, if the larger part of you had not already gone over there, you wouldn't feel bad about not having taken the rest of you with it. You see what we mean? If someone you did not know called you on the telephone and said, hello, you don't know me. I'm just calling to tell you I will never call you again. You would say, all righty then. But if someone you love and care about were to call and tell you that, you'd have a different emotional response to it. So the point that we're making is, unless life has caused you to become something, there will not be a gap. If you don't want it, there's no gap. If you are satisfied where you are about anything, then there's no reason for you to be called anywhere. And there isn't anything wrong with being satisfied with where you are, but one thing that we have to tell you, we've never known anyone in that state of being. Because the contrasting experiences of life cause you to continue to become, you see. So, we call this gathering the art of allowing. And what it really means is the art of allowing the fullness of who you are and who you have become to be. So if life has caused you to put things in vibrational escrow and you have not yet allowed yourself to become a vibrational match to them, then you are undoubtedly feeling the vibrational discord of not now being up to speed with who you have become. We want you to understand that you're not ever going to catch up with it, because what happens is contrast causes you to launch a desire, then you focus upon it and think about it and find vibrational alignment with it. And as you close that gap by holding your thoughts toward what you want instead of looking at the absence of it, you become a vibrational match to it, and then it must manifest in your experience. Law of attraction says that it must. Law of attraction is responding to the signal that you are offering. So if you want something but you have something different, what law of attraction is responding to is where your vibration is along that continuum. So if you want more money than you have, what's manifesting is what law of attraction is acknowledging is your dominant vibration on the subject. Makes sense, doesn't it? So if I don't have as much money as I want or need, that's because I'm giving more attention to not enough money. And in doing so, I'm activating the thought until it's a dominant vibrational offering, until it's the easiest thing for me to think about this subject. And law of attraction is giving me the full manifestation feedback on where my dominant vibration is. Everything in your life that you are living is giving you feedback about where your vibration is and has been on every subject in the world. We call that post-manifestational awareness. It could be pre-manifestational awareness if you cared about how you feel. When you start caring about how you feel, and you start closing that gap, not because you're trying to get to the new red car, or to the beautiful new lover, or to the whatever. As you start closing that vibrational gap, just because it feels better to close the gap, what begins to happen to you is you begin to clean up your vibration pre-manifestation, and then manifestations start flowing into your experience in great abundance. They do anyway. You get what you think about whether you want it or not. There is no exclusion in this universe. This is a universe based on vibration, which means when you look at that thing you want and you say yes to it, you are including it in your vibration and it's on the way. When you look at that thing you do not want and you shout no at it, you're actually saying yes to this thing that you do not want because you are including it in your vibration. There's no such thing as no in a vibrational-based universe. There's only attention to the subject, the activation of a vibration, which law of attraction is then responding to. We are eager to talk with you about anything that is important to you. Nothing is off limits. It will unfold nicely. You will see what a perfect unfolding it is. Because, you see, this gathering gathered before you dragged your physical bodies here. The vibrational essence of who you are is already understood and has already been chewed upon by the broader non-physical part of you. And so now, in a very wonderful co-creative dance, we will, through a series of questions and answers, help you to receive fully the answer to everything that is important to you, provided you are somewhere in the vibrational proximity of receiving the answer. The reason that we babble on and on a little bit at the beginning here is because as you listen to us, we speak that which you know at so many levels of your being. And as you hear us, you cannot help but begin to activate the true essence of who you are. You are source energy in physical bodies, and life is supposed to be good for you. You are supposed to be able to decipher through your perusal of this time-space reality all kinds of things that are of interest to you. And as you do that, source energy will assist you in the full manifestation of them. For this, we know, if this time-space reality has the ability to inspire a desire within you, this time-space reality has the ability to give you full manifestational results of that desire. You're supposed to get everything you want. The good news is, as you get it, you can then reevaluate. In other words, once you get all of the cars you thought you wanted, and you have a hard time keeping the oil turned over in all of them, you can release some of them. We suspect that someday we will be having seminars on de-manifestation. Because once you get the hang of this, you only have to focus a little bit in the direction of that which you are wanting. Once you get to the place where you are really living the art of allowing meaning, becoming a vibrational match to who I have become, because I care about how I feel, and I'm willing to jockey my thoughts around, moving ever closer to something that is a vibrational match to who I am. There are a couple of things that are essential to your making immediate progress and having outrageous success with this. Most important, you have to decide, and we encourage it as quickly as you can. It'll be easy in some cases and not so easy in others. But here it is. Are you ready? You have to decide that you do not give a rip what anybody else thinks. Because when you try to factor in what they think, then you lose your proximity on your emotional guidance scale. You have within you guidance that is based upon source energy that is giving you feedback precisely based upon where you are in relationship with what your life has told source energy that you want. It cannot get better than that. So, we want to show you how to follow your bliss, and if we have to take a little rampage through rage, so much the better. What do you want to talk about? Oh, no one has anything.
I'm an actor, and an artist paints with orange and yellow and green and blue. An actor paints with rage, resentment, joy, bliss, the full spectrum of human emotions. One of the things for 20 years I've been working with is how does one have all the access to all the so-called shadow emotions, full, quick, immediate access where you can go there in 30 seconds, but not manifest the results of those feeling states in your life, in your personal life?
Well, the same skill that would be required to get there quickly would be the same skill that would cause you to get out of there quickly. Uh-huh. There's a big difference between an actor who is so determined to become absolutely one with his character that he immerses himself completely into the idea of it until he feels like he has become it, and the actor who knows that he's just good at temporarily taking on a persona of something. There's a big difference. Mm-hmm. When you realize that you are a focusing being and you have the ability to focus, can you feel the difference between saying, well, I have to become this character, and I am an actor who has the ability to change my emotions in 30 seconds or less? In other words, there's a big difference. One is full of control and empowerment, and the other is sort of giving in to something. So we would say there's a big difference, and actors know this. Mm-hmm. You want to be an actor who is living high and well and on top of the world, who can play any part that you choose, that you want to play, with credibility. It isn't nearly so much fun if you are personally a drunk that they've dragged out of the street to play the part of a drunk. And so on.
Do you lose if you actually move away, you keep doing this kind of work, you keep moving to the higher, more empowered, more enlightened state, do you lose that quick access? If you're not in your daily life living in those lower states, do you lose your quick access to that?
Well, your ability to focus would take care of this. Now, ordinarily, as we're coaching people up the emotional scale, and this is the point of your question, we would say the more you focus upon what you're wanting, then the easier it is to stay there. And most people go to the thought that's easiest. In other words, it's like you've carved a sort of groove on your emotional scale, and it's just easier to go there at first. Mm-hmm. And it takes a little bit of work to climb off of that spot that you've sort of made easy to access. But everything that we're talking about in this business of being a deliberate creator is about focusing. So just make up your mind that it's all about focusing. And when I focus on the life that is usually the life that I'm living, I can get there easily. But I also have, in other words, we see many of you, you can go to a movie that doesn't have anything to do with who you are. And in less than 2 hours, they can bring you to rage or to tears, even though you have not been practicing those thoughts every day of your life. It's just the music and the pictures that you are seeing. When you focus upon anything for a period of time, your vibration is going to adjust to that. And so what you want to say to yourself, if you've decided that you want to be an actor who can play a full range of characters, then what, if we were standing in your physical shoes, we would say to ourselves is, I have such an extraordinary mind. I can focus myself anywhere I deliberately choose on the emotional scale and induce a response, a very realistic response. But who I really am is up here. Mm-hmm. And as soon as there is no more reason for me to focus here, I can focus up there.
Okay. And one final question was just, there's a system called voice dialogue, which I studied. And its whole theory posits that we have all these different sub-personalities. We have the inner child, we have the vulnerable inner child, we have the critic, the killer self, etc. Do we...
Well, we would agree with that in this sense. You have the potential of vibrating anywhere on the emotional scale. So let's talk about what is the killer self. The killer self, in every case, no matter how it looks and no matter what anybody has told you, the killer self is someone who felt utterly disempowered, mm-hmm. who found that rage as the only accessible vibration and did not know that they had the ability to move beyond it. In other words, let's go back to it again, because we really want to make this point with you in light of everything that you're talking about here. All of you have the potential of feeling any emotion, because emotion is just a feedback to what you're focused upon. However, you're really going to like this. Everything that we've been talking about here today is that the emotion that you feel is about the way one vibration is playing off another. In other words, Jerry and Esther were talking yesterday about if you go to an underdeveloped country where you see their lifestyle in squalor, and they do not seem to be particularly unhappy about it, it's unpleasant for you to watch it, you actually feel worse in seeing it, because there is a bigger gap between what you're seeing and what you would wish for them than there is between what they're living and what they would wish for them. They don't have the data to reach as far, so the separation between where they are and where they want to be is not so great for them as it might even be for you. So when you are an actor playing the part of someone who is in rage, it's going to be different than if you are actually someone who is in rage, because you cannot manufacture that separation. In other words, you know that as soon as they say cut, you're going to go off and get a drink of water, and you're going to become, for a moment, who you really are, that prosperous person who is loving life and on top of the world. You're not the character that you may be playing, you see. And you just can't fake that. Mm-hmm. But you do have the ability to focus convincingly.
Okay.
But you do not need to worry about focusing so convincingly that you damage your emotion. Now,
right.
What we would do, and there are some actors who believe that they must stay in the role of the character, because it's hard for them to move back and forth. It's hard to be high on life and then down on life from one moment to the next, or even from one day to the next. And we would say, then this is a person who has not yet learned very well how to focus.
Okay.
And we also want to say to, oh, there might be one other actor in the room here. We also want to say to you that not only do you not need to fear that your deliberate escapade up and down the emotional scale will be detrimental to you, we say it will be of tremendous advantage to you, because you will learn to focus. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but you will learn to feel how when I focus this way, I feel and respond this way. When I focus this way, I feel and respond that way. And when you are in control of your focus, and you are in control of your emotional response, then you could be sitting in the middle of a real life situation that is not to your pleasing, and you could focus yourself right out of it.
Right. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yes, indeed.
I've been able to see entities as a child, and I've often... they thought I was talking to like imaginary people, but as a child, I've always been able to see like spirits. And recently, I've lost several people that have transitioned, and I see them in dreams, and I feel their energy around. And I'm often led to do certain things. Last year, on my birthday, I'm doing some prosperity stuff, and just something just basically got me up off the sofa and said, go play the lottery. And I hit the lottery last year for, you know, $75,000. And I say that, but I was led to do it. I had no intention of doing it. I was literally pushed to get up to do it.
Well, that's what we're talking about. That's that call of source energy. And the thing that we really want to help you to realize here is that it's not that you've got people on your side who are dead and have the ability to help you make the right decision at the right time, because you've all got that all the time. The important factor here is that you were in a place where you heard the impulse.
Yeah.
That's what the art of allowing is. feeling the impulse.
But I'm in the position now where I'm seeing, I'm in my sleep, and I'm in a heightened awareness of sleep. I'm in the room with a lot of people that have transitioned. I'm witnessing a conversation, but I can't hear it. And my question to you all is, how can I move into conversing back? Because I feel like there's something that I'm supposed to be knowing or doing, but I can't. I can see them. I can see their mouths moving. I know I'm in that situation. I know I'm asleep. But I really believe that I'm experiencing something that's really there. I just can't move over into conversing back and forth.
Well, here's the reason why. First, we want to say to you that what you're thinking and therefore feeling and what is manifesting is always a vibrational match. And what you're thinking and feeling and what is manifesting in your dream state is always a vibrational match. In other words, what we're saying to you is, you are the creator of your reality, and you are the creator of your dream reality. So you are creating these dreams. And the thing that we want you to understand is that, you know how you just said to us, I know they're around, and I know that they're guiding. You didn't say this, but we can feel it in your vibration. I know that they have my best interests at heart.
Yeah.
And I know that they're aware of where I am in relationship to where I want to be.
Yeah.
And so I'm expecting to receive guidance, and I did, and I followed through. And so wasn't that an incredible way of interacting with non-physical?
Yeah.
You have the power and the right to create anything in any way you want it to be. And so we're not trying to divert you from having those kinds of meaningful conversations with those people that you love who are in the non-physical.
Mm-hmm.
But we do want to say to you that as you begin to acclimate more and more and more, you're doing it extremely well, with the energy of your source, there will be a seamless integration. It's like at the right moment, you'll hear them say something. At the right moment, you'll feel their presence. In other words, it will be as Esther feels with us. Esther doesn't feel a row of Abraham beings sitting up here on the rafters with our feet dangling over the edge,
mm-hmm.
whispering into her ear. She can feel such a full integration of that which we are within her. You see, it's an integration. It's a seamless integration of this infinite intelligence that you have access to.
So I'm forcing it through the sleep, through the dreams. I'm forcing the communication.
A little bit.
Okay.
Have you ever seen anyone who was attempting to pretend that they were telling you what they knew when it was obvious that they had an earpiece in their ear,
gotcha.
And someone else was repeating it?
No, gotcha.
You've never seen anything like that, have you?
Gotcha. I gotcha.
And how awkward the dialogue is, how illogical the gestures are, how ridiculous the face looks.
Mm-hmm.
In other words,
I gotcha.
Nothing like the seamless integration of infinite intelligence.
Gotcha. Thank you.
It's been over 5 months since my last confession. And
well, let's have it. Spill it.
For the past couple of months or so, I've been starting each day. Well, I actually start each day by brushing my cat. But after I brush my cat, I write for 3 minutes about this particular subject, and I reach for thoughts that feel good. And yesterday, I feel like I reached a turning point, because about halfway through the day, I realized I hadn't thought about that subject at all. And now there are other subjects that I want to tackle. And I wonder if I should go for angry thoughts first.
Not necessarily. It depends on where you are. In other words, we want you to realize that life is constantly about closing that gap. In fact, it would be fair to say to all of you that you will eternally live life in that crack between where you are and where you're wanting to be, because as quickly as you close the gap, life's going to give you something else that you want. So that's what life is. It's riding that wave of closing that gap. In the new book, we've written a process, and it really is about closing the gap. And Esther's been playing with it. In fact, she made a computer program for herself so that she could play it with ease. And often, when she feels negative emotion, no matter whether it's frustration or overwhelmment or something that is even stronger, she will do this process. And this is a process, and it's the same sort of thing that you were doing. You described it accurately here, but we'll lay it out here, and then we'll give you more definition about it. So something happens, a contrasting situation that causes an awareness that I'm not where I want to be. So the first thing she does is type a paragraph about what has happened, what just happened, the contrasting situation. And then she will write, how does this feel? I feel embarrassed, or I feel ashamed of myself, or I feel frustrated, whatever, just a few words to describe. And then in the next segment, she will write, and what has this caused me to be more aware of that I want? And then she will write her newfound clarity of decision. And then she just puts a little dot here and a little dot here, which represents the gap that she's trying to close. Here's where I am, and here's where I want to be. And then in the next segment, she just writes with one intention of closing that gap. Now, what is the gap? It's an emotional gap. What do we mean emotional gap? It's the gap between not feeling very good and wanting to feel better. It's not about fixing the situation. It's not about teaching someone a lesson. It's not about changing a condition. It's only about one thing, closing my emotional gap. Closing my emotional gap, because when I close my emotional gap, I have released resistance. When I close my emotional gap, I've improved my vibration. And when I've improved my vibration, those thoughts that were plaguing me before, I don't have access to. So the next day, I might not even think about it if I've done a good job of closing the gap, you see. It's just a matter of talking to yourself or writing to yourself, which means letting yourself off the hook, finding a way of loving yourself more. Want to talk about something specific?
Well, we could talk about relationship with my dad, because I feel like that's the next topic that I want to...
All right, so give us a contrasting situation that has inflamed your awareness that you don't feel good about that. Just something brief.
Well, it would be a memory. A memory, yes, of a conversation with him.
But a memory is activated by something that,
right,
happened. So even if it's a memory, it's still a contrasting situation. In other words, something happened that reminded me of da-da-da-da-da-da. So make the statement, the contrasting situation, what is it that's sort of stuck in your craw there?
Well, I'll see something that will remind me of his differing of opinion with me on something. And I'll see it, and sometimes I'll even think, well, man, if he could just,
all right,
read this, he would see it my way.
Maybe.
I don't want to think
maybe,
that.
But let's break this down.
I don't want to give a rip.
Let's break this down. Well, that's easier too, but it's really hard not to give a rip about someone that you've wanted to love your whole life. And it's easier to clean up your vibration than it is to not give a rip about some things like that. Really, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, it doesn't matter. You'll get there, and you might not give a rip for quite a while until you find yourself in full love of him. But, you see, you can't have lived life experience that caused you to want to love someone and then stay in a place where you don't love them and ever really be who you are. You got to close that gap, mm-hmm, you see. Not for them, but for yourself. You've got to close your own emotional gap. So something happened, and it reminded me that he never really recognized that I had the power to make my own decisions or that I had the ability to make good decisions. He always seemed like he was second-guessing everything that I did, and I always felt inadequate when he gazed my way. Pretty accurate?
Mm-hmm.
So something happened, and all of that sort of swelled up, and basically you're feeling the discontent in this moment. And probably what happened was somebody else gave you that sort of look. Something happened where the inadequacy that was sort of fostered in that relationship was now happening in your now experience, and so you're realizing that something that got started early on, you've never really gotten rid of, and on some situations it shows its ugly head again. And so there it is, you're feeling it. And so you write the contrasting situation, and then you say, and this has caused me to feel, and put words to the emotion. It's caused me to feel
unworthy.
It's caused me to feel unworthy. I'm feeling inadequate. I'm feeling not enough, and I'm feeling damn mad about feeling like that. So that's how I feel. So now, the next statement is, what has this situation that's just happened, what has it caused me to now desire? And we would say, I desire to clean this up with my dad. I desire not to drag this around for the rest of my life. I don't desire to go back and rework the relationship. I'm not even saying that I want to fix the relationship now. I'm just saying I want to clean this up so that I'm not dragging this around for the rest of my life. Isn't that pretty accurate?
That's accurate.
So now you've said it. Now it's out there. And now, if you will feel, you can feel a vibrational awareness, crystal clear, of the two points of where I am in relationship to where I want to be. And now the work, and it's always the same, is just to ramble with the intent of reducing that knot in your stomach as you leave resistance behind. In other words, on one end of the scale is allowing, on the other end is resisting. So you just want to ramble till you feel better. And there's no right and wrong. In other words, the formula is, I'll just speak, I'll just throw it out like throwing mud on the wall and some of it sticks. I'll just speak and speak and speak and speak with one intent only. I want to reduce this knot right here and now. Don't have to fix my dad. Don't have to make him understand me. Don't have to understand him. That's not the work. The work is close a vibrational gap. So just ramble a little bit and see if you can do it.
Well, I know that he loves me. I know that that there was a time when I felt nothing but good things about him.
Now, if you can say those things without an inflaming of negative emotion, then that means you don't have really strong negative emotion going on. In other words, even being able to say that means that there's not severe discord within your vibration, because someone who really is full of a feeling of powerlessness and unworthiness that has been brought about by some direct relationship with some person cannot speak of love and stay in their own skin at the same moment. In other words, you'd rather speak of murder and mayhem than you would love if they have really rendered you powerless. So that's a good sign, because we didn't feel any movement up the scale in your emotion, but we felt you stable where you were, as you said it. We didn't feel the vibration of love, but we didn't feel that it knocked you for a wallop either. So keep rambling.
Okay. I know that we agree on more things than we disagree.
Here's the thing that we want you to focus on here for just a moment. Remember, the goal isn't to fix the relationship, because what we got from you, and you agreed with it, we think we were all very accurate about this, is your goal is to just let this go. Your goal is to become the full autonomous being that you are. Your goal is to stand on your own two feet and be clear and proud of who you are, and to heck with what anybody thinks about it, because your father does not have, he didn't live your contrast, he didn't launch your rockets of desire, he doesn't know who you have become. He has no way of gauging where you are on the emotional scale. As much as he loves you and as much as you love him, he's an outsider in your emotional game. Everyone is, you see. He is an outsider. And so we want your dialogue not to be about fixing that. We want your dialogue to be about what you said you want, which is letting that go. Now, we're going to speak this for you, and we feel you'll come along with this easily. I want to get to the place where I can think of my father and almost feel humor about how long this has troubled me. I want to sort of take an outside view of it and look back on it and feel appreciation for what it gave me and humor about how long I tortured myself with it, about something that he didn't have any ability to fix and I didn't have any ability to fix and neither one of us had any responsibility to fix. Someone sent Jerry and Esther some music the other day, and it's music that he has adapted to Abraham's message, and he has put it together in a remarkable way, really wonderful lyrics, and his voice is the worst voice that Esther has ever heard in her life. And so they're playing this music, and Esther is on the floor because she loves the music, and it is the funniest thing. And she said to Jerry, please find some way of making me laugh like this every day of my life. She laughed until she hurt. She cannot remember the last time she hurt so much from laughing. She used muscles. She said, we don't need to walk or exercise today. I have done it all in listening to this. And so what we're getting at, we want you to be able to in other words, this was a very well-meaning person that Jerry and Esther very well may co-create with someday on some level, because there is something so extraordinary. The potential is amazing, and the current reality is incredibly not amazing. And the contrast between them made for hysterical laughter. There's no possible way that anyone cannot win from this. In other words, there's no way that anyone can be diminished. And she doesn't have any old baggage that she's trying to clean up about it. She's just standing in this moment, feeling this extraordinary mix of energies, which is giving her a humorous ride, maybe the funniest ride she's ever had in her lifetime. And we want you to aspire to that. We want you to be able to stand back and look at things that have formerly seemed so very, very important and just feel the hysterical laughter coming over you as you don the perspective of your inner being. Friends, we don't want to hurt your feelings, but we laugh about your lives like that all day, every day. You just make such big, hairy deals over things that just do not matter at all. In your forgetting of who you are and in your taking so very seriously where you stand, you see. So
that's what, if you were in my shoes, you would reach for that rather than reaching for rage or reaching for frustration.
If you reach for rage, you'll go the wrong way on the emotional scale. We don't feel you anywhere near rage. We feel you perplexed a little bit. It feels more like disappointment than rage. And the inadequacy that you were describing is very mild. In other words, we think that it only comes up on the rare occasion that someone reminds you of how he used to make you feel.
Yeah.
We think you've mostly left that behind. And you're wanting to experience the freedom of not having to avoid, get ready for it, insecure people that bring it up in you. Anytime you are interacting with someone who's tuned in, tapped in, turned on, in their wholeness, they will uplift you. If someone fosters insecurity in you, they're not tuned in, tapped in, turned on in the moment, and they're not a good mentor or model for you in that moment. So, as you see that, as something caused you to feel that way, you just sort of have to shake it off and say, well, something there is reminiscent of something, and I want to free myself of that. And then you start rambling in this way. This only comes up occasionally, and it's interesting to me when it does come up, and I'm going to start taking notice about what's happening when it does come up. Maybe I can sort of pinpoint something there. But I suspect that it has something to do with something that was fostered a long time ago, because I associate it with my father. And maybe I've been giving him too much responsibility about how I feel. And after all, he had no way of moving me up the emotional scale. I think we shouldn't have been dabbling in each other's lives quite as heavily as maybe I think we were. And maybe he wasn't dabbling in my life as much as I think he was. Maybe I think he wasn't dabbling in my life enough. Whatever, it doesn't matter. I don't live under his roof anymore. I am not responding to what he is telling me to do anymore. I am my own person. I am source energy in a physical body out here on the leading edge, living my own life, which has caused me to launch rockets of desires. And I have amassed a magnificent vibrational escrow. There is so much there for me. And the only thing that my life must be about is about me closing the gap on that which I have become. And I don't have to factor in what somebody else thought I should become, or what somebody else thought about what I did become. All of that is irrelevant. It is humorously irrelevant. And a little session like that, where you've written and brought yourself to that place, might be the only time you ever have to do that. But if it comes up one or two or three or four or five or 20 times, can you imagine if you take the time to do that exercise for one or two or five or 10 or 20 times, how much you'll clean up? And next time you see your father, you'll be vibrating in a whole different place. And now the people out there in the world who would look at you as he would look at you don't rendezvous with you, because law of attraction brings you with different looking eyes, you see. When people look at you, they're reflecting back a vibrational match. Jerry and Esther will go into a coffee shop or a restaurant sometimes along their trail, and Esther will say, "Did you feel invisible? I felt invisible." And we want to say to them, sometimes it's good when you're invisible. It means you're not on this wavelength. In other words, you don't want to relate with every person, every place, on every emotional scale. You want to set your own tone and let the universe match you up with things that match that, you see. And you have no responsibility to go back and clean anything up for any other reason than it's unpleasant if you don't. That's all.
Okay. Thank you.
So I think I'll clean this up because it feels better. Oh, so you're going to repair your relationship with your father? Probably, but that's not my goal. What right. do you mean it's not your goal? My goal is to feel better. Oh, you selfish person. Indeed, indeed. I'm so selfish that I want to align with the being that I have become. Because that won't get squirrely on me. That will always call me forward. That won't be fickle. That won't be based on insecurity. That won't be guidance that I can't count on. That's always guidance that I can count on. And if there's anything that your parents were ever guilty of, and all of them were, it was not being able to be your guidance. Let it go. They never were supposed to be that. We are concerned.
I've got some career, health, and financial issues that I need a little bit of help. Thank God I'm the only one here.
Glad you've narrowed it down.
Yeah. I know I'm not doing what I should be doing as far as my work is concerned.
Meaning?
I'm a speaker. Right now I'm in sales, but I'm more of a speaker, and I need to get more into doing that.
Because?
Because I've got such a passion for it, and I know in the past talks that I've given how I have touched people.
What we want to hear you say is, I know I am not doing what I am supposed to be doing because I'm not having a joyful time doing it, and I know that when I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, it will be joyful to do it. And you sort of kind of maybe said something similar to that. Part of what you said makes it sound like you have a responsibility to those who will benefit from it. And that's the uplifter in you who wants to uplift, and you have always and will always be that.
Yeah.
But you have to get hold of the idea that you're doing it because it feels so good to do it.
Yeah.
And so it's calling you. And when you get in sync with that flow, things will unfold more easily for you. We want to talk about this just at the beginning here with you, because this is so essential. And it is important to everyone, not just you. Think about going with the flow of anything, and the ease and fun it can be. And think about the bucking of the current of anything, and what a rougher ride that is. So when you realize that your life has caused you to set that flow in motion, and Source has become that speaker, that mentor, that joyful expressor, and is calling you toward it, and when you go with the flow, you soar. And when you hold yourself apart from it, you don't. But what we want you to hear is that you can go with the flow as you sometimes speak without going against the flow when you're doing other things.
Could you say that again?
You don't have to stop doing the salesman work that you're doing right now, this red hot minute, and just go with the flow of speaking. You just have to stop pushing against the things that you are doing, and the current is still calling you, you see.
The problem is, the person with whom I'm working, they say, if you do it, I'm going to fire you. Because I haven't been doing what I know I should be doing, I've had a lot of health issues. From a throat operation to a kidney stone, and then the day before Thanksgiving, I found out I have cancer. So I know, it's prostate, I'm going to be good, but it's...
Well, all of that...
I feel stuck and trying to make that transition, and also I have to have financial considerations.
But you see, it's that feeling of, wanting to do something and not letting myself do it. So you're saying, I want to do this thing I cannot do. And then it's impacted further when you say, I want to do this thing and I'm told I will be fired if I do it. And so what we would do if we were standing in your physical shoes is attempt to close that gap. So you say, well, I want to be a speaker, and let's flesh that out a little more. In other words, let's say you're at work, you're doing something, it's all right, you're good at it, you're not having a particularly wonderful day, and maybe you feel a little extra pressure from someone who takes pleasure from being your employer and exercising a little control and power over you, and you being the freedom-seeking being that you are feels that, and you launch a powerful rocket of desire again that says, I want to be financially independent, and I want to work for myself, and I want to do what I feel I was born to do. And so you launch that rocket still further, but then you're standing there in that place that's apart from that. So as Esther is playing her games and you're playing your games, you can feel a big vibrational gap between where you are and where you want to be. So you stop and you say, well, what's the situation? Well, the situation is I feel stuck in a place that I need to be for financial reasons, and it's easier to stay here than to go somewhere else because I'm not ready to earn a living doing what I really want to do, and I don't want to do something else in the interim. And so not only do I feel stuck because I'm doing it to myself, but now I've got this other person saying, if you deviate even the slightest bit, it will be reason for me to fire you, which just makes me all the more eager to get out of here. And so the contrasting situation is that, and how I feel is stuck, how I feel is powerless, how I feel is angry, how I feel is all of that. And so what is it that I want? I want a gradual, comfortable financial transition from doing what I know how to do that earns plenty of money into doing what I love to do that will eventually earn plenty of money. I want this comfortable, gradual transition. And I doesn't seem like I can have this gradual transition because this person that I'm currently employed with is saying that it's impossible for me to have that gradual transition, and I'm furious because why would anyone seek control over what someone else does? I must be pretty good at what I do. Now we're working on closing the gap. The idea of me not being there must make this person feel a little threatened, and it may make this person feel like I'm cutting into their financial well-being. And I realize that there was a time when I was grateful to have this position, and it has served me extremely well, and I'm appreciating all that's come from it, and I'm appreciating how I've grown within it, and I've appreciated the win-win situation that it has provided both for me and for them, and I can understand why they would want me to stick around, and I want to find a way that I can let them know that I have benefited and that they have benefited and that I'm going to be around for a while. And universe, please bring me some words that I could say that would soften this just a little bit. And maybe if I don't get this thing so stuck in my craw where I'm pushing so hard against, maybe if I soften myself where I can see that I'm gradually moving on, and maybe, universe, please bring to this employer an indication or things that make it so clear to him that no one ever stays anywhere, that it's all a passing parade, and help me help him to understand that what is needed will always come to him, just as what is needed for me will always come to me. And help me find a way to explain that I'm not planning on doing anything this red hot minute. I'm happy here. And maybe if I don't express my discord so much, he won't feel so threatened. As I get feeling better about what's coming for me, then I'll stop showing signs of being so dissatisfied, which will make him then feel less reason to offer the threat that sort of holds me here. And I know the right words will come to me, and it's conceivable that I could do what I'm doing on a part-time basis and still make as much money for all of us as I've been making while I do more and more of this other, so that I have this sort of buffer. And I'm looking forward to getting my feet wet. In fact, maybe I will use some of the psychology that I'm hoping to express to the world for their benefit in my own life experience. It will be fun to watch me apply these principles and watch all this smooth out. And anyway, there isn't anything that I have to do about it this red-hot minute. In other words, I am well-employed. Things are going well for me. I'm not ready to close that door anyway and go out on the circuit. Maybe I should explain that to him. Hey, this isn't anything I want to do anytime soon. This is something that I'm thinking about phasing gradually into and on a really part-time basis. And it's something that I believe would enhance not only my life, but your life too. And doesn't that feel better?
It does, yeah. But so she told me to cut it off. You know, that's that. I even had to sign papers. And I can't tell you the frustration. And right now with this...
Here's the thing that we want to point out, and you make it really easy to do that. It's a logical thing what you're saying. You're explaining how things are. And we don't care how they are because we're over here where you want to be, calling you this way. Mm-hmm. So we just did a really good job of calling you this way. And you listened. You were very polite and you listened. And then after we called and called and called and called and called, you essentially said, I'm not coming. And we weren't calling you from your employment. We weren't calling you into action of disobeying someone who has no right to demand anything of you in that way. We were not calling you into that. We were calling you emotionally. We were wanting to provide an emotional bridge that would make you see that maybe some possibilities will unfold. You see, we can see down the road for you, and we know that things are going to unfold, and it's going to be just fine. And so from that knowledge, we're calling you. But because you can't see down the road as far as we can see down the road, you're questioning what might be out there. And so you're arguing for the limitations that seem to be very real, but just the same, you're arguing for them and you're causing them to be activated in your vibration, which is making them real as far as you're concerned. The universe is giving you the inspired words, but you can't hear them. The universe is lining up things to help your employer understand that she could get by without you, but you can't hear that. Things are lining up, but they're zigging while you're zagging because you are fixated on this extraordinary injustice. This is paramount to being in a situation where you have discovered your life's work and someone has chains around you saying, oh no, you're not going anywhere. And you feel like you've got to break loose of those chains. And what we want you to understand is all you got to do is go with the flow. No one can hold you against your will, but you're letting your perceived power of this person mess up your energy so you can't go anywhere, and then you're giving her all the credit for it, you see. It would be like someone saying to you, you can't go to the beach. And you'd say, well, I surely can. And they say, no, you can't go to the beach. I've decided I don't want you on the beach, and I'm going to watch you every day. And if you go to the beach, I'm going to hit you in the knees with this baseball bat. So you say, it could be painful to go to the beach. And as you look around and there's that person with that baseball bat, you start feeling increasingly resentful that you can't go to the beach. And then you think, well, they can't watch me 24 hours a day. I can go to the beach in the middle of the night. Or I can go to the beach when they're not looking, which is just increasing your determination, but it's also increasing the crevasse between where you are and where you want to be. And then you think, well, I can think about going to the beach, and I can remember going to the beach, and I can take pleasure in my mind about going to the beach, and there'll be no hitting me in the knees with the baseball bat because they can see that my body is right here while my mind has gone to the beach. And what we're saying to you is, if you take your mind to the beach so often that you deactivate your awareness of this person with the baseball bat, law of attraction will cause circumstances to put separation between you and the person with the baseball bat. They will find themselves distracted from you. They will be called to things that are more a vibrational match to them, while you are called to things that are a vibrational match to you. And the person with the baseball bat becomes a non-issue in your life. But you've got to go to the beach in your mind, or they'll be right there with the bat. Yeah. And when you get that, when you get that and you find the power of that and the clarity, you see, what happens is when you go to the beach in your mind, so to speak, you close that gap. And now you're offering a singular signal. And think about what that signal is. That's the signal that life has caused you to launch into non-physical. That's the signal that source energy has embraced and become. That is a powerful signal. And now you, because you went to the beach in your mind, became one with that signal. Do you understand the power of such a signal? One scrawny, mean person has no power against that kind of power, you see? No one can prevent you from anything when you line up with it, but when you focus upon them, you're preventing yourself because you're splitting your energy and then giving them the credit. And that's how people like that feel powerful. They're just energy splitters, that's all. They're very good at convincing you to focus your mind in a way that splits your energy. Anyone that seems to have power over anyone, that's all they're doing. They're just dancing such a flamboyant dance that you can't get your eyes off of them. And because you can't get your eyes off them, you've got your energy split, and then you're not powerful. But it's not because you can't be. It's because you're focused in a way that's keeping you from your power.
Thank you.
And everything else will fall into alignment because all of these physical symptoms are just what it feels like under those conditions. In other words, when your energy is split, that's what happens to your physical apparatus, but it's all temporary, all is well.
Thank you very much.
Yes, indeed.